welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McArabi of the News Tribune, and before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, you've had a chance to go back and look at the tape from last week. Did anything new kind of stand out to you about Friday's game?
Just the assignments, you know, just making sure we revisit the assignment piece. That's pretty much it. And just as a coaching standpoint, we got to make sure we're seeing things as the game progresses and just get on things a little bit quicker. It's just a quick assessment and how we can get better as a team.
You guys had a little bit of the fumble issue come back last week. You had seemed to have it under control the two games before that. So what's kind of the key to getting that back under control the way you guys had it?
Anytime a team can, you know, it just to get at the mesh, it feels like that it'll be a, you know, trouble making sure we hold on to the ball. And sometimes a team, you know, credit to them, sometimes a team can create fumbles, you know what I mean, and create situations. So we got to be a little bit more, we got to make sure we concentrate when things, you know, break down as it does and make sure it's ball security first and then live the play another down.
It's the first time you guys have dropped two in a row in a while now. What's kind of been the message to the guys this week to keep the heads up and keep the energy up as you go in to face another tough opponent?
And so that's the process we're going through right now. Anytime you drop two in a row like that and you know, lose games that we felt like we can win, and we felt like we can win both of them. We were in game with both of them and kind of dropped those games and kind of breaks your confidence a little bit. So we're working each day in practice to, you know, and just build on our confidence again. So we're in the process of that.
And then with Elias coming up this week, staying in town for another road game, just what's going to be the key to getting back in the win column Friday night?
Just really, we have to, more than any point of the, you know, the season, this is the game of the season that we were hoping to, you know, get a lot of those things that we needed to get fixed. This is the game that we need fixed right now, and this was the plan anyway, to make sure by this game we've worked out all the kinks. So hopefully, even with us dropping and those two, we're playing a much solid game across the board.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier, and kind of not the result that the Cavaliers wanted last week, losing 34-21, you know, at Jefferson City. If I threw it to you and just said, okay, what was maybe the biggest thing that happened in that game that caused the defeat? What do you think it might have been?
Jefferson City took the momentum pretty early, and I think it kind of demoralized Capital City, not being able to move the ball offensively like they usually can.
Okay.
That mixed with, like, Jefferson City's first score came off of a big punt return that set up a 3-yard offensive drive.
Right,
so Jefferson City was on the board before they got a first down. And then the next drive was just one blown coverage in the secondary. You're already down 14-0, and really you haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
At least defensively. Like, I think the first three drives, the defense forced three and outs, and then still you're down 14-0 that quick. Nothing's really working offensively, and I think that just kind of spiraled a little bit.
Sure. Trevor and I talked about it a little bit in the Jays podcast from the standpoint, in a game like that where, you know, so much is put on every play and kind of everything feels super duper important. For you to get those 14 points in like a span of a minute and a half almost seems like all of a sudden, yeah, it does spiral out of control because you've literally gone like, oh wait, things got bad in a hurry.
Well, and that, you know, that blown coverage to set up the Jays' second score came after an onside kick, and that
right.
can really, you know, be a big momentum changer. So it was kind of just a quick succession of things going wrong without really going all that wrong.
Sure.
Right? And when you get to that point where you're down two scores and you don't feel like, you know, you've blown one play.
Right.
And outside of that, you've been very good to that point. And yeah. It's just like, well, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah. It's, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, after a 3-0 start, the Cavaliers are kind of losers of two straight now. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of two games where you go, man, you know, it just, it was there. You know, you have to shore things up. You have to be tighter. You have to be a little more perfect than what you were, you know, but it's still kind of hard to kind of get it out of your system and go, all right, now it's time to refocus. Sure. So make them 3-2 overall and 2-2 in the conference, and maybe the least likely, or the team you don't want to face the most is coming up this week now.
Yeah, this is not the team you want to be facing when you're, you know, trying to get back in the win column after losing two in a row for the first time since the end of the 2021 season.
Right.
Right, they didn't lose two in a row at any point last year. And yeah, the momentum right now is not good, but I know Coach Collier and I talked about it, and he was pretty confident that they were, you know, had a chance to win both of those two games, which maybe even makes it a little bit worse.
Right.
If you're sitting there thinking like, well, we're so close, we should have won, or we could have won both of those games, and we didn't, and now we got to go up against probably the best team in the conference.
Right.
I mean, Helias already beat Rock.
I was going to say, and for those, I mean, we've kind of beat around the bush. We're kind of not saying their name like they're John Wick or something, but that would be the Helias Crusaders we're talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, Helias has already beat Rockbridge. Rockbridge, the other probable best team in the conference. So, you know, it's not a team that you want to be facing saying, like, we need to get our momentum back.
Right, right. Yeah, that's not the team you go, let's have a get-right game and let's have it be Helias. Yeah. That's going to be tough. So the Crusaders are 4-1, 3-0 in the CMAC. You know, like you say, they're coming off a big win against Rockbridge. You know, the 20-10 score is maybe not, you know, as glitzy as, you know, some people might have like wanted to see or anything. But when you're playing a team like Rockbridge, you'll take a win no matter what. The only downside was, it sounds like, the way they did it was they had to overcome the loss of starting quarterback Sam Weirich, which, you know, that's never what you want to have happen. The good news is you were good enough to overcome it. The bad news is now you're facing the rest of the season without him.
Yeah, 20, you know, it isn't as glamorous as you might like when you're doing it with a backup quarterback against the other best team in the conference. That's still pretty good.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's very unfortunate for Sam and for the team. You know, you never want to see injuries, especially at the high school level.
Sure.
And hopefully he's able to recover by baseball season, but it sounds like he's probably done for football season.
Right.
So he won't be out there this week, and, you know, maybe that benefits Capital City a little bit. I mean, any team losing their starting quarterback is going to be that case, and it maybe adjusts Helias' offense to be a little more run-focused than pass-focused. So, you know, that plays into a little bit of Capital City's advantage defensively, because the run defense has been significantly better than the pass defense this far.
Yeah, I think it's intriguing. I mean, anytime you have a major shakeup at any position where it's somebody you lean heavily upon, the next game's always going to be very compelling from that standpoint. But like you say, if it does make them a little more run heavy than pass heavy than that they would normally like to be, then yes, when that feeds into somebody who's pretty good at doing that, then all of a sudden it takes on kind of exponentially more importance. So I think that standpoint is fascinating, but I almost feel like that we need to flip it real quick and go, okay, but on the other side of the ball, if Cap City's going to have success, they're going to have to do it against a defense that might be the best defense in the conference.
Yeah, I think they've given up about 6 touchdowns, the starting defense has, in their 5 games.
Right.
That's pretty incredible.
Sure.
Yeah, and Capital City's offense has really slowed down the last couple of weeks, you know, especially once you get into the better teams and the more competitive games.
Sure.
And now you got to go up against probably the toughest defense you're going to face. And the issue the past couple weeks has probably been not making adjustments quick enough to get away from what was so successful for the Cavaliers through the first 3 games, which was just being able to kind of run away from whatever defense they were playing.
Right.
You're not going to be able to do that again this week against Helias the way you haven't really been able to do it the last 2. So there's going to need to be some adjustments. I would expect kind of the growing development of Capital City's offense. They just about doubled all their passing stats on the season last week against Jefferson City.
Okay.
I would expect a pretty, for of your offense a pretty good amount of passing.
Sure.
Again, this week, and probably trying to get the ball outside a good bit more, moving into those second and third reads on those triple options in a way that they didn't necessarily have to do in those first 3 weeks and maybe didn't get to quick enough the last two.
So I was going to ask you, is that a byproduct more of maybe what Jeff City gave them last week and then they just seized on that? Is that more a byproduct of we know we're going to need to be a little bit better at this and so it's more of a concerted effort to do that? Or is it just a matter of, you know, we were going to get around to throwing the ball more eventually. It was just a matter of it happened to come midway through the season rather than early or late in the season.
It's a combo of factors, certainly. Okay. They've been building up into the passing game, and I think there was definitely an aspect to it of we're not able to move the ball real well
again
last week, so we got to do something else.
Okay.
Right? Like, there has to be some change. So let's go into what we've been developing more in the passing game to try to spread the field a little bit more and force Jefferson City into a more natural defense instead of the full stack box that most teams run against Capital City.
Right.
So, you know, the adjustments to get the ball outside on the runs is kind of the area that maybe didn't come quick enough last week. Because they were having success against Jefferson City when they got it outside. It just didn't really start until the end of the second quarter. And then even in the second half, didn't really happen as much as I expected.
Right.
Maybe even, you know, if you don't want to just depend on going off of the reads on the triple option, maybe just doing, you know, straight pitch sweeps and stuff. They ran a couple of those and they were pretty successful. I'm surprised it didn't happen a little bit more.
Okay.
And you might see something more like that happening a little more often.
Trevor mentioned that he thought it was maybe one of the better games that the Jays defensive line had played and that they just blew up a lot of plays.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
So is that something where you go, that's just them being better than us on that day? Or was that something where you go, oh, we realize we've got some issues here or there? Or is this just one of those where you go, they were just better on us that day and we're going to be fine?
I think it's very reasonable to say the Jays were just better on Friday. You know, they were able to get in the backfield fast. They were able to clog the rushing lanes, especially for dives, which, you know, those first 3 weeks worked really well. And Capital City was able to use those dives to, you know, build off of that into the getting outside as a more secondary factor.
Okay.
When you've got a team playing the way Jefferson City was and really fully committing everything they had to stopping the dive in a way that I think other teams weren't quite able to earlier in the season, you got to make that move to, you know, get it outside a little bit more, force them a little farther off the line, force them out of those rush lanes before you go back into the dive.
Gotcha. Well, we're now, you know, more than the halfway point of the regular season. We've gone through five games of the nine-game regular season. It's always good to ask at this point, how's the overall health of the squad at this point?
Usually I get to say it's pretty good.
Right.
This week, it's not all
that good. Well, let's switch it up then. It's nice to have a change of pace.
Well,
not for the Cavaliers, though.
Let's not say an injury was nice.
Right.
Near the end of the Jefferson City game, senior captain Marquez Galladay exited with a leg injury. He will not be out this week.
Okay.
And not an injury, but starting offensive and defensive lineman Reese Turner was ejected with about 6 seconds to go in last week's game and will be out this week because of that.
Okay.
So there was some mixing and matching on both the offensive and defensive lines going into this week. I've got...
Not ideal at this point.
I've got a lineup here that I can run through. So the left tackle, which is where Reese Turner usually plays, will be Eli Jarre coming in from a tight end spot. Andy Cavillo will stay, I believe, at left guard. He was one of the guards. He'll stay at a guard. Usual center Matt Wiegand will move to right guard, and Landon McNeil will stay at right tackle. It's an interesting mixing and matching that they're gonna do on the defensive side. It'll be Kubila and Jarre doing most of the work on the defensive line.
So this is one of those things where you go, you know what, if this were next week and you were having to do this going into a Smith Cotton game, you'd feel a whole lot better about this.
Maybe a little different than doing it against Elias.
Yeah, so how much of this is just going to be, you know, let's watch the first 20 snaps of the game and just see how it looks from the standpoint of, do they look cohesive on each of those sides of the ball, just from the standpoint of like, okay, how much of this is like the amount of reps that they've been able to get this week heading into tonight's game those are going to be huge. I mean, and you obviously probably won't have as many as you would like, but you're going to get as many as you can, and then you hope that it just kind of comes together tonight. That's not ideal.
It's not ideal, certainly. I realized I forgot to mention Darius Hendricks will take over at center. So part of, say, not an upside, but something that helps a little bit when you're doing this mixing and matching is they've had to do a little bit already this year.
Okay.
Galladay has missed a little bit of time during games the past couple of weeks. Wiegand has missed a full game against Hickman. So Hendricks has moved in and out of center. When Galladay's been out taking him out of a guard spot, they've moved Wiegand to guard from center and put Hendricks in at center. So there's been a little bit of that kind of rotational aspect on the offensive line.
Okay.
They haven't been without Reese Turner before, and he is very good.
Sure.
So that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the cohesion of an offensive line, you know, being able to trust that the other guys on the line are going to do their jobs.
Right.
Effectively is very important.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe when you're mixing and matching this much at this point in the season against a very good team like Helias, that could lead to some issues.
Yeah. All right, I guess it gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, how do you see this one playing out tonight?
I think it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game. I'll say Helias wins 21-14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArevey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McArevey on Twitter at Kyle_McArevey, McArevey. Thanks for listening.